What's up, my jujitsu? Thank you for tapping in, and we're back with this week's episode with Casey, aka Michael Ross, and we're back with the new IBJJF champion, Mark Libinati.
King Mark.
And of course, we got DJ over there.
How you doing?
You know?
How you guys doing?
What's up? How you feeling, Mark? Are you rested up?
Champ?
Yeah. Yes. Rested up. All the stress is gone. That was so nerve-wracking, being there for 3 days, mm-hmm. watching teammates, and then, you know, I don't go up till Saturday. So once it was all over, finally, I feel like I can breathe.
So you went down there. You went down to Vegas early.
Yeah.
What inspired going down early? Was it just to support your teammates or just to get in the zone already?
Yeah, support the teammates. I knew I'd probably be better off not being there for my own mental health. It was so tough watching matches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think my resting heart rate for the entire weekend was like 120. It just couldn't relax. Just
that was because I wanted to ask you, like, do you think that was a good idea in retrospect? Yeah.
No. For my own performance, no. But all the guys that I compete with, the guys I roll with in my 930 class, mm-hmm. Were at the tournament competing, and I just kind of wanted to, yeah.
How many guys?
Four or five, or
yeah. So a squad.
Yeah, and then there are a whole bunch of girls also that I don't really roll with too much, but yeah, it's like kind of our 930 is our competition crew. So, nice. So yeah, I'm closer with those guys. So I definitely wanted to watch and cheer.
Nice.
I've never been able to do that.
It's fun.
I can't. Like, if I'm competing, I can't go watch my. Power to you, man. I can't watch my teammates because I hold their stress.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, something made it easier was the fact that it was at least not on the same day. On the Saturday that I went, I could not watch any matches. I was like all in my head. I tried watching one match, Camila, one of our stronger blue belts, 2 minutes in. I had to walk away and just hear about it afterwards. It was too much.
It's different when you go there and you're not competing. Like you're not competing at all versus going there, you know, knowing that you're going to compete either later that day or the next day, you know?
Way, way different, yeah.
Asking Jay, I said, do you feel like you're going to get the itch when you get out there? Because, like, when you see your teammates fight, it, like, fires you up. And Jay was like, nah, man, that's my past, man. I'm not doing it, nigga. And then we got back in the car, he's like, man, I could have won the <Yeah. laughs>
And that's the thing. You guys could have easily been on the podium, you know, if you guys, you know, prepped and did everything that you guys normally do to get ready for a tournament. Yeah. I mean, everybody was good. Everybody went up against, there's not a single, you know, sucker, but, I mean, you guys are competitors. You guys would have been there.
Yeah. What do you mean? You're a competitor. You gotta get this in your head, just like these dudes had to tell me. You're a competitor. That's why I texted you that the other day. It's like, you're a fucking champ, bro. Absolutely. I said I wasn't going to curse. There we go. There's one. You're a champ, bro. Like, don't let anybody, like, take that from you. Like, you're a competitor. You belong on that mat. You belong in the ring. Like, give yourself your credit. Seriously. I mean that.
I always find it funny how the dudes who are like, yeah, I train and I'll kill anyone. And they're usually like the bottom of the tournament, like they're the first out. But the people who are consistently like meddling, consistently doing well, get this imposter syndrome where they're just like, I don't know where that comes from, but I think part of that like is what drives you to keep going. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah. You gotta have like a something that kind of keeps you hungry, like kind of keeps you in place,
yeah,
so you can keep fighting. Because you can get super complacent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You. This is gonna sound mean.
It's all right. We're already known to be like on the fence of mean and nice, so just pick a side for the day.
Yeah.
you know, like you roll in the gym with some I don't want to. It sounds derogatory to call him like a hobbyist. and I rolled this guy, and I was like he was rolling really hard. I'm like, oh man, are you competing soon? Are you getting ready for a tournament? He said, this is my tournament.
Yes. That's such a real thing, though. You feel it. You feel it when you're going against the hot. You're like, you're rolling like this is like what you're going to fall asleep to tonight thinking about fucking got my tap in.
Yeah. And for you, it's like, look, man, I'm just trying to like sharpen up. You know what I mean? Like I'm not, it doesn't happen in here. I mean, it happens in here, but like, I don't have to give you everything. You know what I mean? Like, I know when to turn it on.
I think I could be wrong, but I think a lot of that is because they know they'll never compete. Like, deep down inside, they're afraid to compete. So they're trying to get their win there in the training room as opposed to actually going out and testing their belt.
All right, I'll say this, and I'm guilty of it too. If someone comes into class and they like won like Masters World or something like that, I'm like, hey man, you want to roll? And if I get them, I'm like, man, I would have won.
it's my medal, right? Where's your medal at?
I had that same discussion with people. I was kind of giving myself a hard time, but like anytime, hey, if you beat me today, this isn't Highlander. You don't get to take my medal or my powers. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Like,
I'm still king of the division.
Me and T one day took pictures, and T was like, "Hey, just bring all your medals in." And I brought the Naga belt with me and put it on. Dude, when people saw that Naga belt, they were going after me so hard. And I was like, look, man, I'm not even.
Bro, but a lot of people are in jiu-jitsu because they watched WWE as a kid. And this is one of the closest they can get. And you brought in a championship belt. You did that to yourself. you
did it to yourself. Big facts, big facts. I will say, I feel like you were talking about how I wasn't going to be like feeling like whatever about competing. I feel like, you know, some of it is like you got me hyped up. You were like, oh man, you could take those guys. Like,
he's lying. Hold on.
You gotta tell me, bro. I already know. He was telling himself, like, yeah, I could've
no, got it. Exactly. He was like watching a couple matches. He's like, man, I could have gotten shape for this one. He's like, I could have won, man. I could have won.
True.
Because for me, it took me, like, once I said it to myself, like, all right, I'm not going to compete, I let everything go. And so I was able to look at the matches. I was able to watch Mark's, like in a way of, like, as a friend, as a fan, and as a spectator. And I was like, no one really knows half guard because everyone was going in half guard and they did not know how to play. No, I'm serious. At all.
And not only that, no one would have expected that. Ooh, did you, bro? That shit fucking.
Dude, I was.
It looks crazy, bro.
But I was telling John, like, man, I'd have cleaned house. I'd have cleaned up because no one knew how to do it, yeah. You know. But I would have had the uglier side of the bracket. Because Yuri's division was hard.
Yeah. Yuri, Kyle, the guy that beat him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of that. Speaking of imposter syndrome, we might digress for a moment here, but I couldn't believe Yuri wasn't on the podium. And that's kind of, I was like, I didn't have to go against him. It was kind of telling me, like, not always the best people are on the podium.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, you have to play really tight. You have to play super conservative and sometimes it's just 2 points real quick, and the best guy, in my opinion, is not even on the podium. And it's,
yeah, because he was on the side, his back was hurt.
Really?
Yeah.
You talked to him?
Oh,
he's talking about him.
You're talking about
He knows who I'm talking about.
Don't be addressing your king like that, bro. That's crazy. You watch Game of Thrones?
Dude, hold on. But he's so right, like, we had some teammates that like kind of fell out and I know they would have won. And it's never about this is something that we told
it's what we told this individual.
Yeah. That I'm like, sometimes it's your day and sometimes it's not. You know what I mean? Like, somebody can be on fire, you know what I mean? And they can be like at the low, they can be like a numbered 100 seed, and then beat the top guy because he's just not on his game that day.
Well, even though I can't stand Adesanya's fight style right now, what he says reigns true, bro. Matchups make everything.
Yeah.
Like, just because, like, Like, there can be someone who's the best overall, but the game he may choose to play against a certain person may be the wrong choice. Like, there's a lot of things that go into competition. And that's why it's so fun. That's why it's so interesting. Like, there's going to come a day when Gordon Ryan falls, and no one's going to see it coming. But does it mean that that guy's better than Gordon? No. It just means
Gordon had his number that day.
Maybe better game plan for that moment. Maybe Gordon would have beat him 9 out of 10 times, and just that moment caught him off guard, maybe.
And it could be anything. It could be, like, mindset, how you woke up, how you slept, the wake. It could be anything. And it's like,
but your girl could have left you the day before.
That's true.
Honestly, I don't think I want to see that guy.
Or someone's gonna have to pay.
Yeah, a lot of pent up anger in those situations.
I've heard this. This may be. I know this is like rings true in boxing. All right, thank you. It looks like you know where I'm going to go with this.
Do guys take like they're rolling out and like on the mat?
No. Sex before competition. Sex before the day before competition. Do you believe in holding that one in?
I heard Huberman podcast. Everybody's got to check that one out. There's he outlined the optimal testosterone blood level by having sex a couple days in a row or releasing whatever, and then withholding 3 days before. Okay. Something like that. Okay. It's basically kind of like ramp up and then hold back for the 3 days, or maybe it was 5 days, something like that. And I believe everything he says because he's a scientist.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I believe
so. You believe in holding in?
I said I believe in whatever. that is the case.
Just follow the science. Follow the science.
Y'all follow the science, that's all. Yeah.
Well, I like to be a little relaxed.
Clear-minded.
Do this.
He's like, I'm good. Don't worry about me.
For me, when it comes down to competition, it's all about focus for me. Like, I don't even watch TV. I don't do anything. Like, I'm very...
You're that locked in?
I try to be that locked in. Just because I'm not afraid. Like, I'm always afraid I'm going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I just have to go in with, like, that extra precaution of, like, I don't want to get hurt. That's really what it comes down to. That, you know, that's part of the reason why I didn't compete this time.
But... Is every time like
sorry,
clockwork.
Sorry. What did you say? Part of the reason you didn't do what?
Compete this time.
This time, meaning he will again, meaning he's not retired.
Oh, no, man. I got you. I was in the car. He was like, man.
Sign up next year.
I promised my lady I wouldn't. I've been competing for almost 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years. I promised my lady I would take a break. It does put a little strain on a relationship. And sure. I gotta stay true to that more than anything. That is my ace in the hole, and I gotta honor her, and I gotta honor my word with her.
I'm at that, brother. I'm same hole. Yeah.
So it's easier. It's easier for me because I'm kind of an all or nothing person. It's easier for me to say I'm retired. Just be like, I'm not competing. Just it pushes it out of my mind to where it's like, if it was like, maybe, hey, baby, can I, I want to knock a belt. Can I go compete? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, I know that itch would get there, so I just try to keep it out. But this mother, he got me itching.
Yeah, man, he was scratching himself because, when we went there and we saw everything, and he's like, oh, okay, this is cool. Like, you could tell he was feeling it. And then when he was watching Mark, you could tell he was like, he's had that, like, the twitch in his eyes, like, I want to go to the match. And he's like, I could beat them injured. You know, he's like feeling good.
Nobody knew how to either A, pass a half guard or even how to handle bottom half guard. And I was just like, yo, we're at this level. Y'all should be able to do this.
Well, I want to ask yes. Mark, do you feel like you forget certain things in competing with so much stakes on the line?
So I, no, it's, I, my game plan is, I want to be on top, and I want to be in half guard, and passing half guard is like my plan A. That's like what I'm comfortable with. But I noticed that my first two matches, I was in top half guard, and I was playing so conservatively, conscientiously, like on purpose, where, you know, the knee shield was in and they had good frames on my upper body. So I'm really taking my time. Like, I know I could have forced a lot of things. I could have kind of gotten more athletic, which may have compromised my base a little bit. So I was, and I say this because I watched my tape and I was like, God, I look like I'm just don't know what to do. But in my mind, I was A, catching my breath at times, and B, I was like, I know what to do. He's got my collar. I'm just going to kind of wait this out. I don't want to release everything and break that collar. I just kind of want to, everything I was doing, I was just really, really timid. And I think it showed because my first two matches, I just basically was defending attacks from the bottom for the first three, four minutes. And then I came back at the end on both of those matches. Mm-hmm. Maybe when they were tired or maybe when I got a little bit more desperate because time was running out and I was down two. But either way, that's when my passing got a lot looser, a lot more like taking risks. So to kind of answer your question, I was just trying to play super tight, super conservative, meaning like if they're going to throw something in the way, I'm going to try to see if I can less athletic, more just kind of pressure. And that was my thought process.
Do you feel like you were more in your head? Do you feel like you were more in your head? Because you said, like, when you got desperate, like, you were playing more free. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you get caught up in your head, you're, like, thinking, like, okay, so I put this leg here, then I do this. And sometimes that'll make you forget, you know what I mean, versus just kind of letting your body lead
no, the dance. Definitely. I'm not thinking technique, like hand placement, anything like that. I'm definitely thinking base. Like, my only thought is stay safe, stay based. If this person explodes in any direction, can I recover? That's even when I'm passing, that's like all I'm thinking. And then that kind of went away a little bit as time was running out and I was down. It was more like, let's throw a knee slide in here from standing and just shove it through. And it's okay if he comes out on top because I lost anyway. I need to just be more aggressive and more dynamic and take that risk. Mm. So basically just super conservative and just maybe tire them out and then last minute kind of scramble pass. It's kind of what happened, but I don't think I'm going to do that for next year. I think I was way too conservative and left it. If it was 0-0, I feel like the competitor would have won because they were physically doing more jujitsu. Mm, okay. So, I mean, it worked out this time. I mean, I won, but yeah, I don't know if it was...
It was the right game plan, but
turns out,
I do have a question. There is a perceived like jump in competition level from Jiu-Jitsu World League or to IBJJF. Did you going into it? Did you feel like you did anything different to prepare, or did you want to do anything different to prepare, or did you just go in business is business? I'm going to keep it how I've been doing it.
So I did three IBJJF opens or two opens and the Masters International. And it's for sure another level. Like, I think I'm...
Really?
For sure.
I had this
argument for me, for my bracket.
To me, it didn't look like it.
Yeah.
I haven't done it, but it didn't look like it. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, like, I was arguing with T, and it was like, oh, no, IBJJF is another level. Like, no, dude, I walk through everybody. You know? And I was like, I didn't feel a difference at all. But you notice there's a difference between...
I think I've had maybe eight matches IBJJF without... six or seven matches with not including Master Worlds, and I'm 1-1. I've won three or 1-4, lost three, which is, you know, World League. I'm like most wins. Like, it was kind of more like butter, just going through people.
So I say perceived because there's a lot of things that come into it: the production value, the lights, the prestige, or as they call it, you know what I mean? Because a lot of that does get into your mind. Like, when you're really thinking about it, what's the difference between the Super Bowl and week one? It's right. The lights, it's the prestige, it's the this is it, you know? And mental toughness, or just kind of keeping your eye on the prize, is a part of every sport. You know what I mean? So sometimes it can be perceived because the people that are favored to win don't necessarily come out on top because other factors got to them, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't mean to trigger you or nothing.
I
see you ready to go off, man.
But you're right. Masters did have a level of stakes where it's like, okay, then, like, this is it, because, like, you can see, like, the seeds, like, oh, okay, my guy, like, he's the number two seed, you know what I mean? And so it's like, okay, then, like,
all mind games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, there's, like, little small things. Like, I maybe felt a little bit of that at World's Nogi. I felt a little bit of that, but not really. I was just like, ah, man, it's just whatever. Like, the same people that I see in IBJJF, I see it worldly. You know what I mean? Like, the only difference is you got a couple people from out of town, you know, a few more people. I mean, and that's if you do like a big tournament like, you know, Masters World. But like if you go to like an open, like a San Diego Open or like Casa Mesa, it's not really anything. I mean, to me.
Maybe it's just anecdotal. Maybe it's just my experience. I mean, of course, I've only had 3 tournaments, so I don't think it's a big...
No, yeah, that's enough.
I was going to say, you're talking about the lights, and I feel like JJ World League puts on more of a show with the lights. Like, the UCLA Pavilion, the music, you don't get any of that at the IBJJF in Vegas. It's almost like walking to a high school gym for me.
So I've never really... I've been to ADCC, but I've never really been to IBJJF.
Yeah.
Not that, like we know, I'm not really a competitor. I'll compete occasionally, but I'm not like a...
We got to change,
like, ramp this up and go for it competitor. Like, I definitely have some tournaments, but IBJJF was never really something that I was like, I want to go watch, you know?
Because even at World Leagues, IBJJF, everyone's behind a fence, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, the only people that are there, like, you have no one on your side. Like, you have your coaches, but they're, like, not, like, on the mat. You know what I mean? Like, the World League, they're on the mat. Like, all your teammates are on the mat. So it's like this pressure to perform. And everyone's like, look at your last 2 matches. We were screaming at the top of our lungs, man.
And I didn't hear a word of it. I was so locked in on trying to win that I didn't hear anything.
It was nuts. And I'm like, that right there, like, freak, that puts pressure on me. Hmm. This one is like, I don't know. But again, it's me. Other people agree with you. They say, like, and you're just like, IBJJF is more competition.
So I've never, let's be honest, I've never done IBJJF. That's why I said perceived, like a perceived jump. Okay. And then even then, like, if until ADCC took over, if there was a professional jiu-jitsu tournament, it was IBJJF. You know, that was the standard to being a professional. So that's why I was just kind of questioning. And then even then, like, with more on the line and more... like, basically more notoriety that can be gained. That's why I was asking, like, did you do anything different with your regimen, like, going into it?
Yeah, well, preparation-wise, hell yeah. I mean, honestly, I've been probably since March is when I, like, really committed to, like, preparing, which, yeah. I mean...
March?
Preparation is the fun part for me. The day of sucks so bad. It's the worst feeling ever. And all the pressure. I mean, and the more you prepare, the more pressure on that day. So it's kind of weird that way. But yeah, starting March, I was like, I got to do, I'm probably going to have 4 or 5 matches if I went out. So I have to be able to, you know, be prepared, get my body prepared for that. And so assault bike and doing a lot of assault bike sprints, like 5-minute interval sprints. I started privates back in March. Once a week. Yeah. I tried to control every variable that I conceivably would have control over to do as well as possible. Because that's, I don't know, that's fun for me. I'm just really going in 100%. I mean, I totally get what you're saying with the girlfriend not being okay with competing, because I get so locked in that it kind of drowns everything else out, sure. But yeah, I prepared a shit ton.
Did you go back and watch any of your old matches and go, okay, there's a hole here, there's a hole here, I need to fix this, like, I need to work on my takedowns, I need to work on X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the privates really helped is, I mean, I didn't realize I had major gaps until, I mean, couple months working in is my turtle game was non-existent. I just used it to, I guess, rest or escape or whatever. And we went over, like, going from turtle to on top or turtle regarding. And for sure, God, if there is any, like, one piece of advice is just learn how to wrestle. Just do wrestle classes because, honestly, I mean, that's probably the most, just being able to control your body weight. I mean, every match was basically won by 2 points. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I can tell, like, you did, like, some research. I can tell you watched the Craig Jones Gabby match when Craig Jones did the fake handshake and went for a takedown. I could tell, like, you really studied that, and it paid was off. Useful, man.
It paid off. God, can we please talk about that?
Yeah, talk. Like, dark, it was funny. Hard. So watching it was funny because I think you guys had got stood up and there was a little break, and I was like, I wanted to yell to you so bad. I was like, he's more tired than you are, because I could just tell he was gassed. I knew you were tired, but I just knew he was more tired than you were. But I'm like, I don't want to, like, distract you or anything. Your coaches, let your coaches do your job. So I shut the fuck up. That's two. and then you, why don't you tell what was going through your head in that moment?
Kill.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. So let me set this up. So 4 minutes in, I'm on top and I'm working a pass more desperate, and he ends up off balancing me. I turtle up. I think I'm safe in turtle, but he goes around to behind me and he gets 2 points. And then we kind of scramble out of bounds, and 30 seconds left, down two, ref stands us up in the middle. My coaches are both yelling, takedown, you need 2 points, takedown, double leg. So I'm like locked in, this is gonna be the biggest double leg of my life. I'm gonna explode this guy off the mat. Like, this is what I'm thinking as the ref's like, I'm tying my belt, and the ref's like, fight. I'm thinking double leg. He holds his hand out to shake. I'm thinking double leg, but my hand goes out to shake too. I'm like, you can see me. I'm like sprinting towards him, like with my hand extended. We shake hands, and then I'm not thinking. I promise this is not my strategy to fake handshake takedown. But my brain is like, lift his arm, and I shoot in. The hand that I shook, I shot up so I could get a better shot. And he stuffed it, and then I was like, that's when I was like, oh my God, dude. I apologized mid-match. I was like, oh, that's not me. That's not me. My bad. And it's funny, my coach is like, well, whatever. Probably got in his head because he pulled guard, and that's when I just did a flying Hail Mary knee slide and ended up mounting in the last like 10 seconds.
He says he shook his hand.
He
got like just a piece and like, that's it.
Yeah. I'm gonna put it up on the screen. I gotta give you the footage too, by the way.
Even if that's the case, bro, in every sport that I've ever seen, basketball, football, tennis, beach volleyball, you shake hands before the game. That was a stalling. So if he's upset about that, he's upset that his stalling tactic didn't work. Because it's still a little bit of time. But, bro, we're reset. The time, as soon as he says go, the time starts running. I'm not trying to shake your hand. I would have did the same thing. I probably would have went for a fireman's carry though, because I already got the pull. But I would have did the same thing.
In all fairness, man, you can tell like Mark was on autopilot. Like you could tell like he wasn't. Trying.
Being a king is dirty work sometimes.
If I could take it back, if I could redo that, if he held out his hand, I'd been like, mm-mm. And then that would have, I feel like that would have been a better redemption for me. I tried to explain myself with a post on Instagram, but I think all I did is like bring more attention to it. Because everybody at the gym is like,
it's like, nah, buddy. Yeah. We know what you did.
They were mad. Hold on.
But the thing is, like Mark actually got a legit takedown, period. Like, and he won on points in that last one. Like, he won that one without any quote-unquote, like, cheat moves.
That's not
cheap. He won that one. You know what I mean? Like, they started over, and he got his points, so.
Look, dude, I don't care what anyone says. That's not cheap. Don't try and stall me. No, bro. I told you guys, episode one, I used to love messing with my opponents. And, like, stalling is a part of that. And if you fall for that, that's on you.
So, speaking of mind games, because you like to play them.
Oh, go ahead.
So, I told Mark maybe, what was it, like 3 weeks out or a month out?
Yeah.
I told Mark, I said, hey, man, like he saw me that I had changed my weight and I was in his division. And he says, oh, like, are you coming into an easier bracket? He says, because you want less of people. And I said, no, I was like, I injured my back and I can't cut weight. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to compete. And I think the following week I told him, like, hey, I'm out, right? We get to the tournament, and I said, he says, oh, you compete? I'm like, no, I told you, I'm not, like, my back, man. I was like, did you think I was trying to game you? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You can't believe none of that. Especially if you guys have a common goal, you can't believe none of that.
I heard the final call for KC or for Michael Ross, and I was still looking around for you. It's like
just making sure. You know,
okay, still not wearing his gi. I guess he's telling the truth.
I would have walked over and be like, yeah, I'm here. I'm just trying to catch him off guard.
The same thing kind of happened to me. When our second match that we competed before I switched schools, he was hitting me up. He's like, how you feeling? You feeling good? You healthy and all this stuff? I was like, hey, man, what you trying to get at? You trying to game me? You trying to see if I'm ready or not? That's what I felt like.
That's the thing, bro. You can't bullshit a bullshitter. Mark, like, yo, you're always trying to game people. Yeah, bro, yeah. You and Rico be playing the same game.
No. Hold on. Here's the thing. I even think your coach thought I was, like, playing mind games. It wasn't until you won and were on this podium where when we shook hands, he looked at me like, hey, you know what? You're a good guy. But I don't think he trusted me, like, for that whole time. You know? It's like, I'm just a nice dude.
Dude, there's layers. There's two separate incidents that played into me thinking you were, well, I don't know if it was mind games as much as maybe he... So when you told me, I think this is a UCLA World League, when mm-hmm. you were like, oh, man, I really hurt my knee. And then I was like, oh, really? And then I saw you, this is after the gi. You're like, dude, my knee's messed up. And I was like, dang, and you still competed? And he's like, yeah, and I have no gis coming up, too. And I was like, man, this guy's a warrior. So I saw you competing no gi, and you did well. And then already in the back of my mind, it was like, so he's saying he's got an injury, but he still competed. And then at Long Beach, mm-hmm. Masters International.
That was that following Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, it was very next week. I was like, I saw you, I was warming up. I didn't have anybody to warm up with. You were walking by. I was like, hey, KC, let's warm up. And you're like, no, man, I just pull guard. My knee hurts. And you walked off and... Mm-hmm. And I assumed he's just trying to protect his knee. And then I look over and you're killing it again, just, you know, competing two, three matches. And I'm like, dang, this guy, I don't know. He talks about injuries, but then he competes. And then this final, the third one is like, no, my back hurts. I don't think.
You've built up a track record. He's like, I don't believe that shit.
Yes. You know what? You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Look, but hold on.
Nothing wrong with anything. It's just these.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Those are just the things I was thinking. It's like, man, but he's a gamer. Even if his back does hurt 100%, I mean, he always shows up to the mat. And that was more. It wasn't like I thought you were fucking with me. It was more like he just makes it happen. He'll fight through it. That's really what I think I was getting at.
I picked him up at 3 a.m. and he had his backpack and he threw it in the back. And I was like, man, I wonder if there's a gi in there. I was wondering if he had a gi in his bag. I was like, man, he might just pull this out and jump on the back.
You know, Jason was the last person I text. I think it was a Tuesday. And I think I texted him. I said, hey, are you going to Vegas? He's like, yeah. So you got room? He's like, yeah. It's like, I got a blah, blah, blah. I said, save some room for me. I think I can make weight. You know what I mean? Like, I was close. And then, like, 3 days out, I was like I could have made weight, but I'm like, my body wasn't going to let me. So I'm like, what are you shaking your head for, man?
Because you're a gamer, bro. Because I don't mean it as, like, disrespect, bro. I don't mean it as disrespect. But from the day I met you, It's like, when I first met you, I was like, oh, no, man, I can't take you on. And then we rolled together and then it was like, okay, like a rabid dog, dude. And I know that you're waiting to get your chance at me again to pull that. Exactly. And it's who you are, bro. You, like you said, you have that in you to push through and compete. And you've proved it to him twice. Proved it to me on a few occasions. So if I'm looking at the list and I'm like, oh yeah, Michael Ross right here, and you're like, oh yeah, but I'm not competing, I wouldn't believe you anyway, because you told me that before and it didn't happen.
Well, so, just to, for everyone to know, I was out for a month after those last two tournaments. Like, I really put my body through it, which I want to ask. This is to be a weird question to ask you, and like, for the whole table, like, is it smart to, I wanted you to say smart. What do you think about competing injured? Because I think you compete injured every tournament.
Are you getting paid for it? Like, and like, how injured?
This is what everyone was saying. Everyone said, if you're injured, if you compete, you're still, it's like, it's not worth it. And for whatever reason, like, a tournament like that, you're like, I need this. You know what I mean? And you can, I don't know what goes on, like, in a person's head, like a competitor's head, but it's like, I'm all right. I can be good enough. You know what I mean? But Jason competes almost every tournament injured.
But I'm, you know, I go into it knowing that I'll quit if, like, I feel something's detrimental right away. Like, it's never that important for me to win. Like, I think DJ was kind of alluding to is, like, how injured are you? I did the broken toe thing. I could still move around. If I taped it up, I had no issues. But if my knee's jacked, and, like, it was a couple of weeks ago, somebody headbutted my knee. Mm. And it was, like, swollen. I was out for about 2.5 weeks and couldn't really even move. If it's like that, I'm not competing. There's no way. Because I need to be able to be mobile. I need to be able to move around. And then I'm just going to be doing myself a disservice and possibly doing more damage at the end of the day. And again, like everyone says, I'm not getting paid for it. So I feel like, you know, you look at Gordon, I think he tore his ACL right before ADCC or in ADCC, and he competed. I mean, kind of at that point, he's already put that I'm the best out there. He's put ADCC on his back. He kind of has to, and he has a name. He kind of has to compete. Nobody cares about me.
Yeah.
There we go.
I caught
myself. That was about to be three.
Plus, Gordon probably gets show money, and he has to show up to get that money. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like if you got injured a couple of days before?
I don't know. I mean, my body's always like sore nicks here and there. I'm lucky that I haven't had any like kind of really bad injury. I don't think I would compete like injured like. Like a swollen knee that I can't push off of. Like, I don't think I would do. Like, everybody's got different, you know, different. I feel like if you're really athletic, you can kind of get around it, but I don't know. For me,
it depends on what it is. Like, knee, no. Back, no. Fingers, toes. Come on.
But you play football. You used to
that's
like
have your saying. Fingers working and that's breaking. What I was saying. Like, come on. It's like, I'll be all right. I'll be fine. One of my first tournaments, I broke my nose like 2 weeks before. I showed them a mask and they let me. They're like, all right, you can go. I won that tournament. Nice. Like it just depends on what it is. Like, there's no nose submission. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. You know what I mean?
Mother's milk. That is technically a nose.
You're right. So this was when I was a white belt, and it like it's a thing, but it wasn't like a thing back then. You know what I mean? So, and then even then, I'm not getting mother's milk, bro. I'm not getting mother's milk.
I can't wait till you get back on the mat.
I would make that my sponsor. Yeah. Someone mother's milk too. And you tap to that. Yes. I would make that my sponsor.
You're, bro. You remember that Dave Chappelle skit where they had like the haters ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you, bro.
Hey.
That's you, bro. But as for like hurting, injured, like now I can't, you know, but it's like
you risk like something way worse now if you like even train.
Yeah, and like, so things just keep getting pushed back. I don't know if you ever dealt with workers' comp, but it's fucking trash.
Yeah.
Sorry for cussing.
No, you curse. I'm just trying.
Like, it's just getting to the point where I don't go to tournaments and I don't go to class and I don't go to anything having to do with jiu-jitsu because I'm at that, like, it's been going on 6 months. So I'm at that point where I'm like, nah, fuck it. Like, nah, I'll figure it out. But that's not going to help me in the long run. Yeah. So I just kind of, like, I'll watch it on my phone and stuff, but I avoid it for the most part. Like, I avoid the atmosphere of class. I avoid Because I know that part of me is going to be like,
smell it.
Yeah, like, my girl don't got to know that my gi's in the trunk. But then I'm going to come home hella sweaty. She's going to go, what the fuck did you do? So, like, injured, there's a difference between hurt and injured.
I talked to my professor, like one of my old professors, and I went to class and I just kind of like roll around the mats, nothing crazy. And I told him, like, this was like a day before. And I told him what happened. Like, man, I'm so bummed out. I'm not going to be able to train. And he's like, yeah. And this guy is crazy. This guy's out of his mind. And I said, have you ever done it? He's like, yeah, I've done it. And I was like, oh, like, what's your opinion on it? And he, someone who's who I feel like is completely nuts, said, don't do it. He said, I did it twice. He says, one, I got my arm broken, and but he still got gold. And one, he just lost. And like, he was... and he like dissed him to his knee. Both he was out for like 6 or 7 months.
No.
And he's like, when he says, even holding a gold medal, he's like, was this worth it? Yeah. You know what I mean? But if I'm training since March,
so, and then, all and that, then, man. And then even then, you put a lot of time, you know, because March, not only training, he definitely had some tune-up tournaments in between now and then. You put in a lot of time. But
I'm going to pull it out, man. I'm sorry.
There's always another big tournament, bro. There's Worlds in December in Vegas every year.
Yeah, next year, too.
So, like, what's a couple more months of rehab and then back in the gym for a few months? Or just maintaining cardio and then going, you know, because at the end of the day, that broken arm is, and then even then, like, you know what happens when you break shit. It's not, it doesn't heal exactly the same.
Yeah.
Mark, I had a question for you. Actually, I have two questions for you, but the first one is this. It's like, how do you feel you've grown as a jiu-jitsu practitioner, as a martial artist, as a competitor, now that you've achieved success, you know, on a world stage?
Well, I have, the first thing that popped in my brain when you asked that question is kind of the imposter syndrome that creeps in my brain. Even I had mixed feelings after the tournament, like immediately after the tournament was over, and like, oh great, I got third, put a stamp on it. I was like, man, some of the best people didn't make it onto the podium, in my opinion.
Mine too.
And I felt like the matches, I mean, we were all neck and neck, all the match. Like, the one guy that I beat, his stand-up game was way better than mine. Somehow,
held the Kimura the whole time?
Yeah, He did a couple foot sweep. He was off balancing me. He definitely.
That guy's actually really good. Yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, he's really good.
He was really good. Like I thought. I mean, my coach was like, "Hey, this guy's got good stand up. You should probably pull guard." And I kind of stubbornly was like, "I'm just gonna see what happens." And it worked out this time. But kind of feeding into the imposter syndrome, like he was better than me stand up for sure. And then so I fell on top of him for 2 points essentially, and I was up 2 points, and he chose to hold on to Kimura for
four minutes.
And there was no jiu-jitsu, and this isn't, this, I mean, it's not my fault that he chose to do that, but I mean, I guess that's the game within the game, I guess, but I didn't feel good about that way, and I didn't feel like, oh, my jiu-jitsu was better than his. It just felt like I made one better decision just to sit on top of him for, so I was kind of bummed about that one, and then, I don't know, just... I mean, I'm not going to deny all the hard work I put in. I'm not going to deny that I'm, you know, I know I have a lot of technique, and I feel like my A game, like I'm focused when I compete, that my A game is what I hit, and that's how I, stack wins. But I don't know. So kind of going back to your question, how do I feel like I've grown? I just feel like the learning was accelerated over the last, 6 or 9 months. I feel like I did gain a lot of technique just with the privates. I feel like privates are way underrated. People at the gym are asking me, do privates really help? I'm like, yeah. And just imagine a class dedicated to you for an hour, and you can really just build up your own game really, really fast. you know, your coach figures out your own deficiencies and you just plug those right away. So, I mean, yeah, I guess that's it.
It's interesting. I haven't paid for privates at any of my new schools, but my old schools I paid privates for, and I don't really feel like I got a value out of it.
Really?
And I just didn't feel like, I didn't feel like the coaches understood me and my game, if that made sense.
That, so I know what you're getting at. That wasn't a good, that wasn't necessarily a good coach, bro.
Oh, no. It's not even just like that. I'm saying multiple schools.
Yeah, that sucks. I stand behind privates just because I'm lucky enough that my sister-in-law is a black belt and my brother is a brown belt, you know, and that whole family has, like, before I even really had a class, I had months of just, oh, you're at the house, we have the mats, you want to try, you want to learn some stuff. So, like, it was classes tailored to just me. And then even when I went to San Diego, I used to have it was pretty much like I got lucky. Because the only class I could make it to, no one else was there. It was just me and the professor, essentially a private.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have a coach that you respond well to, you can be, it can be beneficial.
Yeah. And I wasn't going to say this is not beneficial. I was more going to say for myself, I haven't found real value out of them. I do think they can be beneficial. Also, I do a lot of studying and kind of coaching myself, if that makes sense. Like, I really look at a depth of, like, where am I lacking? Every class, I'm like, okay, I'm stuck in here. I need to do this. Well, let me just do a deep dive on this section. I haven't done it in a while just because I've been kind of lazy, honestly. My joy for jiu-jitsu has kind of been sucked out, and I'm trying to figure that out myself, you know?
I'm in agreement, too. I don't see it. Like, you should get... Why you always shaking your head at me, man?
Well, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you did. You went.
I didn't say anything. Just finish what you were saying. Just finish what you were saying. I have nothing bad about what you guys said.
I've been in privates with, like, I've been like the training dummy, and I've been in privates, and I'll learn things, but it wasn't like this voila moment. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if. Again, I'm just a blue belt, so take it with a grain of salt. If you understand how to, like, dissect your own footage, that can be extremely helpful. You know what I mean? Like, your game will still be, like, I don't want to say one-dimensional, but you can only critique the things that you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, they're not different layers of your game. Now, I know, like, if you train someone, and they can teach you all, like, oh, like, the little... hidden secrets or whatever, that's very valuable. But, like, I never got that out of, you know what I mean? Because I feel like everyone has a different game. And it's hard. I haven't met a coach that I'm like, okay, then, like, let's roll. All right, I know your game. Let me show you how to build it, you know?
Yeah, well, part of it.
I mean, but I haven't did that with Coach Al. So, Coach Al, I'm not seeing you.
Jimmy and Coach Al, Coach Jimmy, Coach Al. I haven't done that with you guys either.
So that may be a little bit different.
Not saying that either. That's why I said I didn't take privates at my new schools.
I would say what was so beneficial to me for my privates is my coach's ability to take what I'm good at, give me some little helpful hints to polish that up a little bit. And then on top of that, so and then connect, find little ways to connect from my plan A to my plan B. So, for example, like my half guard, my bottom half guard, I've been working on because my guard wasn't that good. Now it's okay, serviceable or whatever. Like my half guard, I feel like I can hold someone off. So, figure out a bunch of different sweeps from pressure, forward pressure, when they're backing off, left and right, and then in each direction, transitioning single leg X, transitioning from single leg X to I feel comfortable in X guard. I don't like single leg X, but I like X guard. And just finding these little, like, high value techniques that fit specifically to my game. So it's not just like a coach saying, as a black belt, I'm really good at this, so I want to teach you that. It's really focused on what my A and B and C game are and what is going to help. Like I mentioned, turtle transitions, not letting someone pass my guard, doing a little guard retention, a half Granby versus a turtle. And from turtle, how to get back up, how to either wrestle up or re-guard. And that was like the last 3 months was basically that for me. And so I was able to just basically develop these games that are, we don't have classes on, like, we don't teach guard retention, or we didn't do a lot of turtle defense or attack just in our kind of everyday classes. So it was really, really helpful. And it came up in 2 matches. I turtled up in 2 matches and I was able to kind of salvage the situations. Mm-hmm. So I would say if it's not tailored to you specifically, yeah, it's probably not going to be as effective. It's going to be like a really expensive, just regular class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, so the way I see it is because you didn't do privates before you made up your mind that you were going to move forward.
Right.
So not only was it just critiquing his game, it sounds like he went in with a game plan. And like in order to have success in sports, like, you kind of have to have one. It sounds like he went in, he talked to his coach, he said, I want to do worlds at this time. They started training, they had a tournament. They find out where the flaws are, what needs to be worked on from there. They train, they address those, they have another tournament. And it was slowly building out the game. It was steps to get there. And that's what coaches can do for you. Like, yeah, you can do it on your own, but why when you don't have to, yeah, to a certain degree. But with that being said, like, it has to be a coach that is tailored to you, that works for you. And that's not going to be everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, a coach I respond to isn't going to necessarily be a coach he or you guys respond to, you know. So I get the point of privates. If you're a hobbyist and you're just taking privates because
he's gonna be good. Then
I'm just kind of like, let's go to class. but if you have a goal in mind that you're like striving for, it's what they're, that I think is worth it.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, what was, like, after you win, how long did it last until it was gone?
What?
Like, you, of course, you had the feeling like, oh, like the relief that it's over, mm-hmm, and you won, you feel good, like everyone's congratulating you. How long did that last until you're like, all right, back to class, like it was like, it almost like it doesn't exist almost.
Yeah, maybe a day or two. I hate to say it, but the Instagram gratification, you know, coach puts up a really nice reel on his private account, which is like heartfelt, made me feel like $1 million, you know, recognition by the head coach and by the gym. I mean, that was huge. It felt really good, but you know, after, you know, 1 or 2 days of story cycling through, you know, congratulating everybody, it just kind of felt like business as usual, just back to the mat on Tuesday. And I mean, I never got like a big, like, it was more of a relief than it was like an excitement. It was more, yeah, like, it's over.
That's
like
how it always is.
It, like, they always say, like, the losses stay with you longer than the wins. The losses never go.
Yeah.
They suck. they live and they haunt your dreams. You know, sometimes a loss is better than a win.
Yeah, I stand by that. I agree with that. I've made my biggest strides after a loss. You know, even JJ World League, I've still haven't gotten gold yet. Can't do it. So I'm hoping the next time I compete that I finally hit that next level and I can finally get that gold.
So it ain't gonna last for a day.
The thing is, it's gonna last for that second. I'm like, all right, I did it. Cool, back to the lab. That's always my mentality, because I don't necessarily care about getting a million gold medals. I care about achieving my personal goal. And my personal goal is to win a JJ World League and to win a Master Worlds one day.
Yeah.
At whatever belt that is, whatever level that is. I definitely want to do it at black belt, because I feel like there is a big accolades with doing this black belt. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you're blue belt, purple belt, it's like, ah, cool, good job. Yeah, nice try, keep going. Like, but like, I feel like when you do it at black belt, it's like, oh, he's a real world champion.
Yeah.
And so for me, black belt at Worlds is definitely one of my number one goals. A Naga belt is one of my number one goals. And JJ Worley getting gold for the first time is one of my goals. Outside of that, I don't really care.
Hell yeah. Do privates, man.
Any privates to do?
What?
Did you work on half guard?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. My God. The whole time I'm like, what would KC be doing right here? Like, I honestly, that was so inspiring. I added your game to my game. I still don't know how to deal with what you do. Like from top. Like, I still don't know how to... I mean, it's just so polished, so dialed in. You really would have done,
except for Rico and Coach Alex.
We've been in a long time. We gotta roll at least in the gi.
I mean, you destroy me right now. Can get some too, buddy. Don't tighten your eyes over here. You can get a little piece too if you want it.
I just want.
Well, my back is better.
Friday. I want some Friday.
No, dude. I told you. Look,
I want some Friday. that's tomorrow. Yeah, I want some tomorrow.
What you sucking your teeth for over there, man? Like you want a piece. You ain't doing nothing. Sit down in that chair, man. Yeah.
You're wilding, brother. You're wilding.
No, I know you want to practice so bad, but you can't. You can't. I ain't scared of you right now.
Key word right
the
now.
Case closes, then Casey's going to quiet up a little bit.
Mark, I do got one final question for you. And based upon your experience and where you're at, what do you think it takes to become a world champion?
I think everything we're talking about, but plus luck.
Mm.
I keep going back to that imposter syndrome because I feel like I had a really, really lucky placement in the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
If I was in any other bracket, it would have been a different story. There are four brackets, and I definitely got the one that gave me the best opportunity. So, I mean, outside of luck, which is a huge part of it, just get yourself a calendar and just plot your workouts according to your schedule. Plot your privates, you know, your weekly privates. Know your game plan and just really focus everything around your game plan. If you're not focusing your jiu-jitsu, like the roles that, like, after the technique of the day, then you have your roles. If you're kind of just mindlessly just trying to win the role, that's, in my opinion, that's not the best traction. You need, like, if when I'm in my competition, how am I getting to my A game? How am I getting back to my A game? And it makes it kind of boring because you can't really explore. You can't, like, I'm not focusing on submissions, which makes it really boring because submissions are fun. So I don't know. You kind of have to sacrifice some of the more fun parts of jiu-jitsu, the flowing part, the more exotic things. So, I mean, I think those are some understated things for people that if they want to really go far or kind of have to sacrifice some of those.
Okay.
Basically, do your homework. You know, I'm on YouTube. I'm YouTubing the same move from different, you know,
instructors.
Yeah, from different instructors because they have a different take on it and cool little details. And it's like, okay, this angle is better for this reason. And it's like, okay, cool, because my coach didn't explain that because they go from this angle for this reason. And yeah, stay focused.
Okay.
You have to be obsessive. I mean, I was obsessive, am obsessive still, 365 more days.
So you're competing next year?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I like Mark, man.
For sure.
When are you going to get a no-gi?
I'm afraid of it.
The scrambles. You know what? Fucking respect for... Man, that's three. Respect for saying you're afraid of it.
Yeah, I do no-gi classes. I love no-gi, but if I want to be on top, that means I have to learn how to wrestle. Yeah. And
you don't.
Don't listen to him.
What? Don't listen. Well, you
but you pull guard. Question. You pull guard, though.
Huh?
You pull guard, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Every time.
Maybe I just need a better guard
game. Every single
time.
Maybe
I just need a better guard game.
I didn't think you were. So you were afraid of it?
My knees. Like, it's too fast-paced. I just...
Because you do good in class.
It's just... class and competition are two different things. Like, I know there's a certain, although I'm always saying I'm conscious of my injuries, there's a certain, like, gear of, like, go that I turn on that I don't think I could do with no gear. Also, like, I wear knee braces. Like, most of the time I'm wearing knee braces in class. It's very rare that I'm not wearing knee braces to keep my knees safe. So, and not having my knee braces, being able to wear them in no-gi, it just makes it a little bit more hazardous for my health.
Mm. I can pin someone with the grips and just negate a lot of the scrambles.
That too.
You know, that's scrambles, even, there was a lot of scrambling in this tournament, and my knee was swollen. I could barely walk on Sunday.
Really?
I could barely walk on Sunday. I mean, it got better. It healed pretty quick. What is it, Thursday? But yeah, I just imagine no-gi, there's going to be exponentially more scrambles because you can't pin someone as easily. And that's part
of
my
game. If
you
DJ, you can. See? Gave you a compliment.
Nah, bro, you put yourself on my list. That's what you did, bro. You put yourself on my list. It's okay, though. It's okay. I don't forget. I don't forget at all.
Oh, man. Well, gentlemen, we are pretty much at that time. We all have things we have to do after this, so we should probably wrap it up.
No, I was still going to do the light.
I was going to, we were actually going to get high on positivity.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
Last time.
That's what I was saying.
Okay.
That, we knew it. Go ahead.
Okay.
You start.
I guess what I'm positive for is this man right here, he did something in my neck, man. Like, I feel like 20 years younger now. That's been bothering me since the May 27th, since that tournament. Definitely positive for my lady, putting up with all my BS, and, you know, she's always looking out for me. You know, she's been rubbing, like, castor oil on my knees. I don't know, it's this old wives thing, yep, or whatever, that castor oil is supposed to help your joints. So if you don't know about it, maybe it might help. Like, she's been rubbing castor oil on my knees and my joints and stuff. I feel like it's been helping a little bit, so... You know, maybe check out some casserole. But, yeah, shout out to my lady. And, yeah, I think that's it on my positivity. I'm positive now that I'm in a good mood because, man, when y'all got here, I was depressed. I was like, man, I just want to unalive myself right now. And, you know, talking to you guys, I feel a little bit better.
I woke you up.
We're going to talk after this, bro.
I'm next?
Yeah.
I'm positive to be around you guys, to be on the shows. This was fun. I'm positive that I'm in a place where I can celebrate my friends, winning tournaments and not feel like I thought I was going to feel like a bit of jealousy or like hurt. And I was genuinely just happy for you, man. And I was so proud of you. I'm like, oh man, like there was nothing there. Like to want me to be up there. It was just pure happiness for you. I am leaving town soon to see my bunny. I can't wait to see you, honey. Thank you, sir. And my friend, I'm going to a wedding next week as well. And my friend asked if I could do a speech for us. So that made me feel really good. So I'm really excited about that. And I have an idea. You should do like a ding, like a counter, uh-huh, every time you slip up. It should like pop up on the screen or something like that.
That would be funny.
So that's it.
I think I'm going to say the same thing I said last time. Dude, friendship, this, I mean, has really developed from us being competitors to the podcast, seeing you guys in Vegas, cheering for me. I really appreciate you being there, taking photos and videos.
Yeah,
and
I got you after this, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some of that. And pre-game massage from KC over here, loosening up my back. That was huge. And even, I mean, just the community. I mean, even my head coach, Felipe, is knows you guys well now. And, yeah, you know, he says what's up to you guys every time he sees you. And just I love the community and seeing DJ again.
Sir,
see you on the mask when you get your case closed.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm getting fucking fed up, but yeah.
I mean, you'll see him and hear you, but you'll never see him on the mats again for some reason.
You should just pull up tomorrow.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
You know, so I got a few positive notes. Shout out to my brother. He gets married on December 4th. I know I have a lot of brothers, but you know, we grew up together.
Which one?
Goosey. He gets married December 4th. Other than that, this may not seem like a positive to y'all, but I have a new person on my list today.
Motivation.
Exactly.
Let's put a positive spin on it. Motivation.
Sorry, Bunny, but I'm gonna have to handle business eventually. And my last positive is, I'm really proud of this podcast, man, and it's coming up on a year, and I'm getting pretty excited for that. I'm not gonna be able to. We've been talking about plans. I'm excited about what we have coming up for that, and hopefully what we can pull off. Those are my three.
Okay. Well, that does it. Everyone, thank you guys for tapping in. Really appreciate y'all. And that's all I got, man.
You know what? And like, comment, subscribe. You know, you have anything to shout out?
Got it all done.
Yes. All right. Like, comment, subscribe. If you're looking for the smoke, hit up Jay. Pray for Ross.
Look, I'm so happy we got friends here that we all love each other. We don't want to hurt one another.
And catch you next time.
All right, y'all. Y'all stay blessed.